to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are on to Tampa Bay officially. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea with you for the next 2 hours. Well, I'll be with you for the next hour. And then Michael Regai will fill in as I go to tape Sunday strategy. But it is time to turn our attention from the past, which was a nice win over the Oakland Raiders, 23-13. The Browns now sit at 4-3, and turn our attention to the future. This Sunday, the business at hand against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Browns look to get to 5-3 and take on a Buccaneers team that will enter the game at 1-6 under the tutelage of one Lovie Smith. And we're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns today at around 1:45 as he gives the press conference, updating you on all things as they get back to work. You got Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet any Browns questions you have to @Browns_daily, @NathanZagura, @MattWilhelm57, and use the hashtag Mailbag, and we'll get through as many of those as we can at 1:30, and then again at 2:45 to close out the show. Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will be here at 2:15 as well. But as we look at this Buccaneers team, and we look at this game on Sunday, here's the Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. Number one, what's one thing on this team you'd like to improve going into the Tampa Bay game? Where is the one area you want to try to shore up to ensure that the Browns win a very winnable game here? And number two, breaking down the Bucs, are they really that bad of a football team at 1-6? And Matt, we'll start with this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. We'll kind of get into some of the X's and O's of what they do, what it means to be a Lovie Smith football team, get into some of their players, because I think just when you initially start and you look at the Buccaneers and you look at their record, you say, this is not a good team, but they have a lot of talented individuals, and right now the sum is not greater, or the whole is not greater than the sum of its parts right there. They have a lot of great individuals, but they're not putting it together as a team.
Yeah, and it's been tough, because the one time I can honestly say that I've tuned in and actually watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was their victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, where they came back, Mike Glennon makes the throw at the end of the game, you know, to put them ahead and take over that lead and steal one from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's tough, because and it's very hard for me to see Lovie Smith struggle, because I thought going back to Tampa was a great hire. He's brought some of that staff with him from Chicago, as I mentioned off air. You know, Tim Spencer, who was a coach on the staff early in my career at Ohio State, a former friend of mine and teammate with the San Diego Chargers, Carlos Polk. So he's brought young guys, but he's also brought some experience as well. And he's trying to replicate and build a team like they did in Chicago, where they hung their hat on, you know, on forcing turnovers. And we'll get into that cover two defense, which is very, very tough to play against, you know, down in, down out. And it's just to see them struggle and to have, you know, players, as we'll get into, you know, like Vincent Jackson, who I also played with in San Diego, just flat out struggle. And it looks like it's a combination of their game plans, and it just feels like they're lost right now. You know, you would think at seven games in you have some type of identity, which we can hang our hat on that the Cleveland Browns do, and that's something we talk a lot about. And the fact that they're still lost and they're reeling, and we'll talk about the trades that have happened most recently and the potential trades and how that affects the locker room.
The Browns, yes, and we will talk about that, because the Lovie Smith team, you think defense, you think a solid defense, and yet they enter this game 32nd in the NFL, that's last, in points per game at 32, in yards per game at 410. Those are not the staples and the hallmarks of a Lovie Smith defense. And now the Browns will enter this game with a 5-3 all-time record against the Buccaneers, looking to build on that, though they have lost all three games since returning in 99. The Browns 0-3 in their last three against the Bucs, so they want to get that turned around here. But let's talk about this Lovie Smith team. Guy, very successful coach, as you pointed out, in Chicago, 82-69 all-time as a head coach. He's been to a Super Bowl, been to an NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers.
That's right, and we took it to them.
That's right, and the Green Bay Packers won that game. When you look at this team, and let's just start with the Tampa 2 or the Cover 2 defense that is a staple of what Lovie Smith likes to do defensively from that Tony Dungy tree. Let me ask you this. Is that defense outdated in today's NFL with the size and speed of slot receivers and tight ends and their abilities to get down the seam and attack really the big holes in that defense?
Not necessarily. And the reason why is because I think also, too, is yes, their size has increased, and that's where they get the advantage. But I think also, too, the size of linebackers in the league since I was playing has kind of gone down, you know. And I think that they're more in that six foot, 225 to 240 range, which means that they can run, too. And that is now the one thing that I think a lot of coaches look like. They don't necessarily need that run-stopping linebacker anymore because that's not the league that we play in. They want that linebacker that can do both play the run, but exceeds in one-on-one situations and is has great awareness and understanding of defense because they're dropping into coverage so often. But just to talk, you know, again, briefly about that cover, too, I think where Tampa Bay is struggling right now is, and I think a lot of people thought this would be a year where they would struggle because it takes a certain type of player to play in that Tampa 2 or, you know, cover 2 system. And I think if Lovie Smith would have stayed in Chicago, you know, Charles Tillman, just because of his knowledge and understanding of cover 2 and how well he plays, he could play 18 years in cover 2 because it's not like he's having to play man-to-man and chase a Larry Fitzgerald or a Charles Johnson or a Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson all across the field. It's just technique. And that's the one thing that I think this team struggles with right now is they're and I say it a lot, and I use this analogy a lot, is they're trying to put that square peg into a round hole. So they're taking square players and trying to put them in that Tampa 2 hole, and it's just not fitting right now. So there's a lot of learning going on and a lot of trial and error to figure out what works for them.
Yeah, they're the worst graded defense right now in the NFL by Pro Football Focus, and that's even though they have two of the guys that are graded the highest at their positions in the NFL, actually three of them in Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, and Alteron Verner. But Jonathan Banks has really been struggling for them, and their slot corner Leonard Johnson has really struggled. It has been a tough road to hoe, I think, really, for this team defensively. And you talk about that, and you look at some of the changes they made. Lovie Smith saying, okay, you got Darrell Revis, arguably the best or one of the best man-to-man corners in the league. They just cut him. They out-and-out cut him and replaced him with Alteron Verner, who they thought was more of a cover two corner. Mark Barron has not been fitting in well into the cover two scheme so far. He struggled this year. They trade him this week. So Lovie Smith's trying to get the pieces in place, but it seems like it's a little bit of a work in progress. And what I've noticed is that they are so susceptible, especially in the red zone, because of the cover two technique with the corners you kind of sit on the outside and kind of shade inside. You got the safeties over the top, the linebackers, you know, with their coverage responsibilities in the middle. But they're so susceptible right now to the slants. They're so susceptible to the deep ends because they're not comfortable yet in how to transition in those zones.
You're right. There's windows in cover two. There's windows in every coverage that you take advantage of.
There are a lot of windows in the cover two.
There are. There's a lot of windows, and what they're essentially banking on is the ability and the ability of the players to make breaks and the eye control of the defenders to snap and make that break. So again, as you said, just to reference the corner, you know, they kind of hinge, you know, open to the field, right, using the sideline to an advantage and knowing they have a half safety over top. And they'll give up we'll just use it as a reference to the Cleveland Browns, that speed out that Hawkins runs a lot.
Yep.
They'll give up that 3-yard route, but that corner, and I referenced Charles Tillman because it's like when I think Tampa 2, I think
Urlacher,
I think as a middle linebacker, I think Charles Tillman as a corner, he comes up and he makes that smack and hit at 4 yards. And also, too, in some cases, Charles Tillman was amazing and was Lovie Smith was a huge fan of, was stripping the ball out. So it's coming up, making that hit, not letting things get behind you. And if they do and a route does go down the field, you're able to maintain that position. Again, as I said earlier, technique, and you start to gain depth. And then if something were to come across the field, you can play up on anything behind you and still not let that 7 route get caught on you along the sidelines behind you as well.
Yeah, and that really is the key. And right now, that's something they're struggling with. And I think it's an adjustment for their safeties as well. You could tell the safeties often on tape are not in sync in terms of their depths, which I think has caused problems, especially in the red zone. One safety, you know, there was a play against Baltimore where the safety, they were about at, say, the 12-yard line or maybe the 8-yard line, third down and goal. And one safety had his toes right on the front of the end zone. The other safety was about 6 yards deep into the end zone, and they just ran a slant where the guy was 6 yards deep, and it was easy.
Yeah. The other thing, again, to dive into, continue this conversation about cover two, and again, this is that point right now where we're talking to our executives here at the Cleveland Browns, and we need a video in here and a whiteboard.
That's right.
You guys
will
be
much more
in tune to what we're talking about. But two things, as you said, your depth in this cover two defense, and also to your landmarks. because it's a landmark defense. This is not something that you can deviate. If Justin Gilbert wants to line up inside the numbers, he'll line up inside, or he lines up outside, he lines up outside. No, it's a landmark defense. Your coach and your players around you for this system to work are expecting you to be in a certain position. You know, and if you're not, I mean, again, as you said, if a safety's too close, they're not able to get to, you know, the half field where that corner is expecting them to be to stop a certain route. You know, or if he's too narrow and he can't get to the true half and he's more in a quarter type of drop, that is where you find the susceptibility of this defense. And, at you know, thus far being ranked 32nd in the league, offenses are just taking advantage of it.
No question. And wide receivers have had their way with this Buccaneers team. And, you know, it makes you wonder, should he have kept Revis? They've given up 16 passing touchdowns on the season. 12 of those have gone to wide receivers. That's the most in the NFL, and they've only played 7 games. Nearly 2 touchdowns a game, 1.71 to be exact, 2 wide receivers as they struggle with this cover 2 and the adjustment to Lovie Smith. Because right now, as I said, dead last in yards per game, dead last in points per game defensively. They are also near the bottom of the league in terms of pass defense. They are 30th, giving up 286 yards per game. They're 23rd against the run, 124 yards per game. They're not doing anything effectively whatsoever as a defense this year, and that is why they're struggling. And then when you look at the fact they're 32nd in total offense, when you're dead last in total defense, dead last in total offense, it's not a recipe for success. Part of the big reason why the Bucs have a differential of negative 90 this year, second worst in the NFL. So this is absolutely a game that the Browns should win, but there are some legitimate playmakers on this team. Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle, one of the best in the league. He wreaks a lot of havoc. He can get to the quarterback. He can play the run. He really can do it all. He's a guy who just got locked up 7 years, $95 million.
That's it?
51 guaranteed. Man. Not bad for Gerald McCoy.
Not bad. And again, you don't just give that kind of money to anybody, especially in today's NFL, because so many guys, you know, have a good season or two and then fall off so quickly. So he's been very productive for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a few years now, and he's deserving of that payday. And again, if I'm Coach Pettine, or in this case Kyle Shanahan, offensively scripting up your game plan, there's going to be a big, you know, circle around where this guy's lining up, and whoever he happens to be lining up against, you want to study his moves, because he is the kind of, he's a game-wrecking type of player.
He's going to be a big test for the three amongst the middle, Greco, Nick McDonald, and Joel Bitonio. They'll be tested there. I want to ask you about the 4-3 deep, because a lot of times in a 4-3, a lot of people focus on the middle linebacker, and he has an opportunity to rack up nice tackle totals with Urlacher, with Lovie Smith there, obviously, in Chicago. But really the playmaker is the weak side linebacker, and that's Lavonte David in Tampa, who may be the best in the entire NFL. So far this year, leads the league 60 solo tackles, leads the league 14 tackles for loss, 8.5 run stops. He's the only player in the league over the last 2 years with 9 sacks and 6 interceptions. He is phenomenal. So again, this is a defense that's got arguably one of the best guys on their front line, arguably one of the best guys in the middle. They're having a lot of problems on the back end. But Lavonte David, talk about the Will linebacker in the 4-3 and what you've seen from David that makes him so special.
Well, right off the bat, the best analogy that I can give you, Browns fans out there listening, is Sio Moore from the Oakland Raiders, you know, who was making play after play, it seemed, at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage, almost had an interception. That's the Will linebacker in the Oakland Raiders defense. So again, we have a much more productive, you know, Lavonte David. And what it is, it's you're kind of a free hitter. And so many times what those, everyone in front of you and your two other partners next to you as linebackers, are sacrificial lambs, where they're running and hitting the gaps, or they're running and spilling, or in this case, they're either hitting the ball, knocking the ball back to you as a Will linebacker as you scrape free to make a play, or they're splattering it to you, which allows you to scrape fast over the top. In a nutshell, what it allows you to do, you're not taking on blockers an awful lot, and you're scraping and making, you're it's cleanup duty. Everybody else is sacrificing, doing their job in front of you for you to make all the plays.
So you're the playmaker when you're kind of tabbed to play in this role. You've got to be able to
cover. The backside run-through guy, right, which is where I'm sure a lot of those tackle for losses come. You know, all the gaps are taken. He's taking a shot to run through the front side or a backside gap and chase down a play from behind.
So just so for those that don't know, where does he line up in the 4-3? Everybody knows where the middle linebacker is.
Okay, if you're looking at an offensive formation and your tight end is to your right, the Will will be to the left. So he's on the back side of the play.
From the quarterback's eyes.
From the quarter, if you're from the quarterback's eyes. So the Sam, which is what Khalil Mack was and why he wrecked our tight ends, aligns up, you know, on the tight end. The Mike or Mack in some cases lines up, you know, probably the A gap, the front side A gap, you know, so to the right of the center, the offensive right of the center as you look at it. And the Will, and he's got, and that's a great thing about the Will too, is he's got the ability to kind of wish and wash in his stance, so he can be, you know, kind of head up on the center if he thinks that ball is going right, and or he can kind of, we call it like boss and bow, boss strong or bow, W, weak. He can bow his alignment over to the left a little bit and be able to make a play going left. So again, he's got the freedom because on a front side play, which is that's what we do. We line up our tight end to the right a lot. We love running behind Greco and Schwartz. We run to the right.
Yep.
That means a guy like David will be running free, you know, on the, you know, chasing it down from the backside or running through to hit that cutback as well.
So again, there are some players on this Tampa Bay team and this defense that are very, very good, but so far the defense has not yet gelled under Lovie Smith, last in the NFL in all the categories that matter the most, and the Browns will look to exploit that. When we come back, we're going to get update you on some of the injuries for the Cleveland Browns, and we also will get into some of the guys on this Buccaneers offense as you start to learn a little bit about the Browns opponent coming up this weekend at First Energy Stadium. Browns looking, of course, to get to 5-3 with the big win over these Bucks. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850 as well. What is the one thing you'd like to see the Browns clean up before Sunday's game or improve upon to ensure that they get that win? And we'll continue to break down Tampa Bay. What are your thoughts on Tampa Bay? Who scares you on this team? What are you most concerned about headed into this Tampa game? And don't forget to get your questions into us. Use the hashtag mailbag. We'll get to those at the bottom of the hour. CBD, Zagur and Wilhelm right after this. So I'm stepping up.